Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Jacqueline Richards here on this. Right now, it's a questionably cloudy day in the nation's capital of Canada, Ottawa. And I'm Jacqueline Richards. So glad that you decided that you would spend some time with us. This is Blog Talk Radio, Mastermind 101. And that's the absolute intent of this show for you and for me and for those who decide to step on either after the show or pre-show, because when I advertise our content, you must have so many questions you'd like to ask. I am pleased to be working with my friends, family, clients, strangers in the principles of yoga, money, and energy. The idea of being in balance seems to be so foreign. You know, in North America, we could be described as a nation that is overwhelmed, overworked, and so distraught in some of the decisions that we make on an ongoing basis. That could be a description. And I will always believe that if you decide to be lucky, and really lucky is what prepares us for the opportunity. That's Earl Nightingale. If we decide to be prepared for the opportunity, to be lucky, we can come back into balance. I wrote the book Yoga for Your Personal Finances, and that's exactly what we talk about. We'll come into some postures. They're called asanas, yoga asanas, that allow you to be in this present moment. And that's, if you've dialed in with us, you would have called 1-815-475-9209 to be present in the conversation with Ms. Ann Max. And she's here with us today. And if you haven't met Ann, you need to know that she's known for her lively and engaging and her performance-driven approach to productivity and performance enhancement. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. As you come into your yoga pose, you're not thinking about money right now. It is about taking the opportunity to listen to someone who is all about development, organizational development, or human resource development, or administrative development. Have you ever heard of someone who has results that are guaranteed to take you in through your journey, your next steps? Ann Max has an incredible monthly e-newsletter. It's called Max Tips, and I encourage you to be online after the show. Make sure you sign up to get her tips, because it doesn't matter what city you're in, wouldn't it be nice to acknowledge that you have the courage, and I'll call it courage, and the discipline required to take the steps you'd like to when you're envisioning your goals and aspirations. I'm Jacqueline Richards, and I'm so glad you're here with us. Again, if you have any questions for us, area code 818-475-9209. And I know for a fact that we have Anne online with us. Anne, are you here?
I'm here.
Yay.
Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning. As I sit with my cup of coffee, understanding that when we pinpoint our productive personalities, I really do need a coffee, Anne. How do we start? I've done the DISC program before, but will this offer us the opportunity to learn even more than what a DISC, and I've got in quotes, a DISC program offers us?
Yes. Yes, it's a little different twist on it. The DISC program and what's the other one that everybody does, they're all very similar. And, of course, we can always learn from the different programs. This is geared a little bit more towards productivity. And the DISC program is geared, towards your it is your personality, but more behavior. But this sort of, I'm going to take this a little further to say how your behavior affects your productivity and how you can change your behavior to be more productive.
Change change my behavior. And we have spoken so often together, and changing behavior. Okay, some would say that's kind of difficult, Jacqueline. That's kind of difficult, Anne. I don't know. How do we change our behavior?
It takes between 21 and 28 days to change our behavior. And first of all, we have to want to change our behavior. So we have to look at the results of changing our behavior before it gets to the point where we have to change our behavior. At least we can enjoy the journey, right?
Absolutely.
And I think one of the things that happens is that people try to change too many behaviors all at once. And I've always advocated doing one thing at a time, as you know. So if you discover a behavior here that you feel you would like to improve, pick one. And, you know, list some things that will help you to improve that behavior. Work on them for the month. Discipline yourself. Reward yourself. And make sure that you've got it really ingrained before you pick another aspect of the behavior to change.
Wow. How much does our personality play on being productive? I mean, I have many friends, and it's interesting. We surround ourselves with yin and yang. We surround ourselves with people who are just like us, or we surround ourselves with people who are 100% not remotely what we believe we're made of.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're creating these relationships with the other personalities, how much does my personality play in that, and then how do I reap the benefits of being productive with that?
Your personality, the way you are, the way you're born, plays a huge part in your productivity. I mean, we are who we are. We don't change, and we tend to attract, you know, friends and spouses and people who are opposite to us. I know that I'm married to someone who's exactly the opposite to me.
Oh.
And I also know that I can't change him. But
why not?
I've learned that the hard way. You can't change people. You just can't. And you know, you're trying to put them in a square box and trying to put a square person in a round hole, and it just doesn't work. So what you have to do is massage it in a way and say, you know, this person is like this, so what can I do to sort of alleviate the extremes of the behavior?
Okay.
Like, my partner is very, very picky, and he will spend hours just picking and picking and picking at things. So if I write a newsletter, he will go in and he'll adjust all the obvious things, but then he'll start looking at how it's written and what it sounds like, and he'll say to me, I think we should do it anyway.
Oh.
Okay, I'll give him 10 minutes. Okay, I want to get this newsletter out. Let's look at the end result of this, okay? Otherwise, you'll be sitting here all day changing things. So I give him deadlines, and it works. Okay, you got 10 minutes to do this. Make all the changes you want, and then send it out. Me, if you gave me the newsletter, I'd never get it changed. It'd be sitting on my desk for ages because it's too specific for me. I don't like that. Okay? So if he wants me to write the newsletter, he gives me a deadline.
Oh.
So we have to look at the behavior, and we have to say, how can we alleviate the behavior, make it more palatable for everybody? So whether you're working in a team, whether you're working in a business, whether you're working with a group, you can learn that if someone exhibits this tendency, how can I get around it a little bit? So it's interesting to know about these personalities, and they're fun.
And how many personalities are there? I know, you know, we've got that posted on Blog Talk Radio, the description of some of the things that we'll consider. But really, how many personalities are there?
Yeah, well, we just picked 10. We picked 5 organizing personalities, so that's for your environment and your space.
Okay.
And those personalities are called See It All Sam, Put Away Polly, Get Nothing Done Gertie, Keep It All Kenny, which is your pack rat, and Pigpen Porky. So, you know me, I name things.
Yeah.
I have little cartoons, and I name them. They're all very funny. And then we have 5 time management personalities. And the first one is Jumper Joe, Then there's Perfect Pat, Impatient Annie, Indecisive Ida, and Last Minute Larry. So one thing you should know about these personalities is that we don't exhibit just one personality. We are a combination of personalities. And I'm going to concentrate today, just because of the time element, on the time management personalities. So, you know, you aren't totally a Jumper Joe. You'll have a bit of Perfect Pat in you. You'll have a bit of procrastination in Last Minute Larry. And depending on your circumstances and where your life goes, at certain times, depending on the people you work with, you will exhibit more tendencies towards one personality. So, which is very interesting.
Wow. And, you know, I reference back to, I am, my horoscope, I am a cross between a Cancer and a Gemini. And so when people are speaking to me, they wonder, you know what, which horoscope personality am I speaking to today? Is it the excited Gemini? Is it the let's get it right, let's do it specifically with my Cancer aspect? Or let's plan a trip and be really thoughtful about that back in my Gemini. I wondered if that was okay to have all of that in this tiny little mind and body called Jacqueline Richards.
It is. You just have to use it to your best advantage when it's necessary, you know? And sometimes if you're exhibiting tendencies you're not happy with, you might be able to push them down a little bit by enlarging some that you are happy with at that particular time. And it depends on the time of day and the year and how you feel. All kinds of things, of course, affect your productivity.
Okay. So we are dealing with the time management personalities. So should we be getting out our BlackBerry and our pen and paper or our playbook? Should we have our Samsung journal ready to go?
Anything to take down. So you just take down some tips. If you exhibit some of these tendencies, I'm going to tell you how to deal with them. I'll give you a few tips and hints on how to deal with them. And then at the end, I'm going to sum up the general things that you can do with yourself and with your teams and things to help you with them.
Okay.
So the first one we have is a Jumper Joe. Now, I'm a Jumper Joe. And a Jumper Joe is someone who is very creative, very intelligent. I'm not, but they are, I mean, and very interested in life. And this should also be called a squirrel. Squirrel.
Oh.
And you and I have talked about this, where people are easily distracted. So a Jumper Joe just has so many things on the go because they're just so interested in life and people. And they have a lot of irons in the fire. They work on several tasks simultaneously. They interrupt themselves. And they love to be interrupted because anything interesting and new, and new is really is cause for just, we're just not going to do that work right now.
Absolutely.
This is the type of person who starts off in one room and ends up in another because they think of something that they need in the other room. If you're a Jumper Joe and you work at home, it's really difficult. You really need to discipline yourself because there's just so many things that can become obstacles to what you're doing. There's the laundry, there's the kids, there's, you know, you'll think of something else to do and you'll go wandering upstairs.
Mow the lawn, shovel the driveway, yes.
That's right, you know. And Jumper Joes appear to be always in a hurry. So they're the type of person that when you talk with them, they're always answering your sentences and, you know, tapping their feet and, you know, like, get on with it. I haven't got time for this. Yeah. So it's a jumper. Tasks, talks, and interrupts a lot.
Oh.
So they forget where they're going. They have problems paying attention. And they generate lots of options and alternatives and too many of them. So as Jumper Joes, we have to learn to cut ourselves off. we can become very easily bored and frustrated by others. And we have to learn to control that. So how do we deal with things when we're a jumper Joe? Okay? We have to avoid distractions, which means a jumper Joe, when you work, you have to work on one thing at a time and physically, literally physically, put everything else away. So jumper Joes really require tasks and action plans that they can follow. They have to turn off their computer if they're not working on a computer, and they have to have that piece of paper in front of them and just do what they're doing. A benefit to Jumper Joe would be a timer, and I'm looking at my little yellow timer here. I use a timer for everything. And I'm not the type of person who can work in long periods of time. So don't put me in a room for 2 hours to do a large project. There is no way I'll last more than 10, 15 minutes. So that's why the timer. And Jumper Joes love to be rewarded. So they'll concentrate their efforts for small time periods, but they have to switch tasks, but they need rewards. So I have to say to myself, if I do this in 15 minutes, what kind of a reward can I get? So, I can go have a coffee, I can go walk the dog, I can do whatever. But I need to reward myself. I also need to take time in between the tasks. It can just be 10, 15 seconds, even a minute, but I have to break that task saying, you did that, good for you, now put it away or file it in the electronic file and bring up your next task. We tend to talk to ourselves a lot, Jumper Joe. we have to do that to keep ourselves on track, and because we really find it hard to focus. When you're a jumper Joe, I advise people, if they have an office, and a lot of people don't now, of course, but if you do, or if you're working in an office, close the door, because you're the first person to look for other people coming by to go, oh, hi, come on in and chat, okay?
Right.
We tend to sabotage ourselves. So jumper Joes need to organize their environment so that it is not messy. They need to plan small tasks in short periods of time, and they need to slow down whenever they're doing anything. We tend to move very, very fast, so we have to say to ourselves, slow down, talk slowly, keep on track, this is a reward, I'm going to visualize the goal. Now, a lot of people now are working in situations where you can't plan time. I mean, it doesn't happen anymore. So you have interruptions, you have distractions. If you're a team leader, a director, a manager, very often, they'll have an open door policy. And if they're a jumper Joe, what they need to do is they need to work on one thing at a time, and they need to decide, is the distraction worth it? Because it makes them go right off kilter more than other people. And if it is worth it, they need to note down where they are in their whatever they're working on, put it aside, deal with the person, and then go back.
Right.
So it's very concrete physical actions that Jumper Joes need to deal with. Because they are the way they are, they can be very busy but not productive. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, I'm doing 9 million things. Oh, aren't I good?
I know
okay.
That game.
I look wonderful. Okay. And they juggle too much. So they burn out easily, and they forget important details. And that's me. I don't know what you're like, Jacqueline, but that's me. And the Jumper Joe, I find, is one of the most prevalent personalities. And I think because of the way the world is, a lot of people are becoming Jumper Joes just because they've got so much to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's our Jumper Joe. So do you have any questions on that?
I don't have any questions, only because observance is that I feel very much, in some ways, like a Jumper Joe. So many things to do and always, always busy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we really have to cut it. We really have to stop and save and plan time for ourselves, like in between each task.
Right.
Plan time to socialize. And once you get the hang of it, once you discipline yourself, it's really, really good. It's worth it. So, you know, take one thing at a time and try to incorporate it in your life. Buy the timer and stop and spend time doing those kind of things. And it eventually, it's the focus we need. You need to pay attention and a jumper gel more than anything. And then, of course, we have the perfect Pat. And this is our perfectionist. And sometimes Jumper Joes are perfectionists, so that's like a double whammy.
Okay.
So a perfect Pat, of course, is somebody who thinks they and only they can do things well. So they don't like to delegate. They don't like to give anything to anybody else. So what they do is they rewrite letters and reports many, many times.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They get involved with details. So they don't get projects completed on time. So my partner, who I give a the timeline to, if I let him go, he would perfect that Max Tips newsletter, and you'd never get one. Okay, he'd just be going all day. Okay, okay. They rarely skim. They have to look at all the little nuances and the details. And the biggest part with a perfect Pat is they're never satisfied with the results of their job. So they never finish anything. I had a client who was a perfect Pat, and he had 10 projects on the go, and they'd been on the go for a year. And I said to him, what's the percentage of completion, do you think? And he said, oh, they're all at 90%. And that's because he would never reach 100% because he's so picky.
Okay.
His 90% is probably our 150%. If he had stopped at 50%, the average person would have been happy with it. So as a result, he got nothing done. So I took one of the reports and sent it off to the person who wanted it. And this client just had a bird. Oh, why? How are you sending that? You can't send that. Where it's going? I said, what's the worst that can happen?
Exactly.
And that's what you say when you... Yeah, what's the worst that can happen? So there's a T not crossed or an I not dotted, something's wrong. At least, you know, your teammate has been waiting for this for a year. Like, get it out.
Exactly.
So when you're a perfect Pat, you're very analytical, great attention to detail. But the problem is you have a hard time distinguishing between high standards and superhuman expectations.
Oh, like a superwoman.
Superwoman, right. Well, we all have those, okay?
okay.
And they're unhappy with others who make quick decisions. I mean, somebody will complete a project and go, oh, my God, you know, and here I'm still working on it and you're doing it.
Right.
So as a result of being a perfect Pat, they're very confused and nervous about the outcome of their work. And there's a fear of failure in a lot of these personalities, especially a perfect Pat.
Okay.
They're trying to please someone in their past, and when you get to my age, you realize you can never please who you want to please, so give it up. And half the people are dead anyway.
Oh, so, there we go.
Yes.
Now,
when you're a perfect Pat, how do you deal with this particular personality? Well, you acknowledge the fact. Okay? You're a perfectionist. Good. I know that. Okay. And be aware of the difference between excellence and perfection. You've got to pick your battles. You can't be perfect at everything. So decide on your daily tasks. You know, you have 5 or 7 tasks. Say, this requires perfectionism. This one doesn't. But I can't do everything perfectly.
And how wonderful is that? Because we covered some of that conversation in our previous interview when you talked about, you know, let's take a look at your agenda and what needs to, you know,
yes,
what are your absolute needs for the day and break it down. Mm-hmm. Now, you suggested that Jumper Joe was a squirrel. What's Pat?
Yes.
She's...
Pat is I don't know. I haven't got an animal for that one.
Okay. How about Last Minute Larry?
Last Minute Larry. That's a procrastinator.
Oh,
that's a procrastinator. It's just that most of my clients say squirrel. They call it squirrel, all the time. But we've never. We'll have to think of other animals that are, you know, that are related to these things. So you've got to be easy on yourself.
Yeah.
And it might benefit you to just say to yourself, I only have an hour to do this.
Exactly.
Set up a timeline.
Yeah.
Okay? I've got to finish it. I've got an hour. I will give myself like 10 minutes to review it. I will review it only once or, you know, and then it's going. So find out what you can do to stop and finish on time. Do not expect everybody else to conform, because they won't, because their standards are not as high as yours.
Okay.
So if you're a manager and you want people to conform to your perfectionist standards, you must train them specifically in what to do. In my consulting practice, I see a lot of perfectionists who are directors and CEOs and things like that, and they say to me, you know, I keep sending this back with little red notes and little dots, and they don't get it. Well, they don't get it because you're not telling them how to get it. So if you want your I's crossed and your T's dotted and you want indents and this is what you want, you've got to let people know and train them and reward them and show the group that this is what you want. But make sure you don't make it for everything. Train yourself to care less. Interesting.
To care less.
To care less, because a perfectionist cares very, very much that it comes out right. And it's a fear. It's a fear that I will be unworthy if it isn't perfect. But you've got to understand that people don't want perfectionism in most things, which is why you have to pick your battle.
Which is difficult for us to understand, because I know I've grown through corporations where if it's not perfect, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we have just a few more minutes left.
Yes. What's okay, so we'll do quick. We have Impatient Annie, and this is a person who's actually, she's allergic to detail. She doesn't like detail. Okay? She's a big picture person, loves new ideas, but don't make her the treasurer of your organization.
There we go.
Okay? Yeah. She gets overwhelmed when there's too many aspects to a job, and she can't cover a lot of ground in a short time. So
Okay. How
to deal, and you know, the way we're telling you to deal with Jumper Joe and Perfect Pat and Impatient Annie goes for anybody who wants to be productive. Create simple, basic routines. Minimize forgetting for routine things by posting them up, you know, on the wall, or putting them in a binder, or putting them on your desktop and your computer so that, you know, if it's like some kind of a code that you always have to use, have it right in front of you. Delegate and make sure your information is organized.
Right.
Right.
So then
we're left. Yeah. Do you have time or not? Are we short of time?
We have about 30 seconds left.
Okay. Well, then we'll have to leave the other two for later. We'll have to leave last minute Larry for later.
I don't want to say how appropriate is that, but last minute Larry needs to be left. Oh.
Yes.
Thank you.
So if anybody's interested in any of your callers are interested in receiving all this information, I could send it to them if they email me at info@productivetothemax.com. I'll send them some information on it.
Which is also on your website, right? www.productivetothemax.com. And then they have more understanding about what you bring to their table, their decluttered table, always.
Yeah, and I believe there's a Max Tip archive on exactly these personalities, so they could find it there too.
Perfect. I am so glad that we went through some of these personalities, and we can absolutely pinpoint out of what you said all of the little sticky notes that are really relevant to each of us. I am all about my sticky notes. They're colored sticky notes, Anne.
You're a sticky note person. Oh, no, how do I know that? I know that, yes. We'll talk about that, Jacqueline.
Perfect. So thank you so much. And for those that will be listening later, enjoy it. Make sure you've got your pen and paper in place. Don't forget that Anne is available to you at any point in time. I'm Jacqueline Richards.